If you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Samuel. We're looking into the 7th chapter, and I want to preach tonight on Mizpah. A few months ago, I began to go through and study this and begin to feel the burden of the Lord as National Day of Prayer was coming. I was asked to speak in a place, and God began to deal with me on the call of Mizpah, the call of Mizpah. And I hope and I pray, because it seems like the messages that I'm preaching are pretty solid messages. What I mean by that is they're not for the faint-hearted. I'm really, God is challenging you. We've had some tremendous older services around here because God is challenging you. This is a day and an hour when God needs his children, the remnant, to rise to a higher level. God needs to stir gifts and callings and things that have laid dormant inside of you, and you've excused it away. Excuses are done. God is serious about this business, and now God is calling a great call for all that will hear, as I preached last night about Gideon, to turn this thing around. You want change to happen, it must start in you. It must start in you. Can you say amen? In the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, if you'll stand in reverence to the Word of God, I'm only going to read just one verse of Scripture. Well, I'll read two verses because for the sake of time and you standing. Verse 5. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Let me read on here just a minute here. Verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord for us, for he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them even till they came unto Bethgar. Then Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Heavenly Father, as I stand behind this pulpit tonight, I know the awesome responsibility that lies upon me to deliver thy word. And I stand here as a vessel of clay in need of thy anointing, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Give me clarity of thought. Cause the word that you've dropped in my spirit to burn, God, and that it would come forth with power and demonstration. Arrest the attention of your people and speak as only you can in the recesses of their spirit. Release thy anointing in a powerful and mighty way in this tabernacle, and I'll give you the glory, the honor, and all of the praise, for I ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, and amen. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, to understand the power of Mizpah, you've got to understand what's going on in Israel. The Ark of the Covenant has been brought back. The Philistines, who had captured it, amen, Hophni and Phinehas had taken it to battle, amen, but had not lived right, and God caused the glory of the Lord to depart from the children of Israel. It's a sad chronicle in the history of Israel, how backslid they got, and how hypocrisy had got in, and how lukewarm they had got to where they felt as though they could play with the holiness of God and play with the Ark of the Covenant, which represented Christ and the holiness of God. And so the Philistines wound up with something they didn't really want or knew what to do with it. Isn't that, amen? The world don't know what to do with what we've got. So they put it in the Dagon's temple and thought, he is a god, but he's not our god. But he, well, let's put him in there. At least he's deity. At least they had enough respect that way of him. Matter of fact, to tell you the truth, I think the Philistines kind of treated him a little better than Hophni and Phinehas did. At least they understood he was deity, and let's not mess with him. Let's put him in a temple because he is deity and divine. When Hophni and Phinehas just kind of played with God and lost the fear of God. We're living in a day and an hour when the church has lost its discernment. We're living in a day and an hour when men and women that stand behind the pulpit and our leaders have lost the fear of God. They've allowed things to enter in that never should have been entered in. They are allowing apostasy. They're allowing false doctrine. They're allowing all of that. Let me go down this road. I'll try to get you to shout in a minute, but I feel like I need to lay the groundwork to show you the atmosphere. In the midst of all that apostasy, God births a prophet. In the midst of all of this today that we see, God is raising up, amen, children of God, servants of God, mighty men and women of God, people that are called and anointed by God. Can you say amen? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. Sometimes we concentrate on the negative rather than the positive, but I've got news for you. God is moving. God does have a remnant. God does have a church. He does have a people that are called out, set out, and sanctified and consecrated and love God. Can you say amen? But I must admit that this climate of lukewarmness and this climate of complacency has crept into the church. I have to admit, and you have too, if you look at reality, that it's affected us in some ways, has it not? There are some things that have happened to us. As I said last night, like Gideon, he was a good man. God called him a man of mighty valor. God knew in his heart that Gideon had the potential, but around him, the climate, he just succumbed to it. And if you and I are not careful, we can succumb to, amen, the spirit of lukewarmness and complacency and apathy, and we can begin to lose our discernment and our convictions. We can begin to slide in with people that are trying to tell us, oh, that's not, oh my, that, oh, come on now. No, we're not listening to Hophni and Phinehas. No way. I want to listen to a Samuel, somebody that's been born supernatural, somebody that's been born again and been in the fire. Samuel was the man of God. Can you shout hallelujah? And through all of that, Samuel stayed true. He watched Eli backslide and go worse. And he watched Eli not correct Hophni and Phinehas. And he watched the abominations and everything go on. And don't you think Samuel, even as a child, was not grieved? And as he grew, don't you think Samuel didn't think, Lord, this isn't right? And God would say to Samuel, I know it's not right, but you can't change it yet. But I'm going to move, and I'm going to turn this thing around and judge it. And when I do, I want you there, Samuel, to take over. Can you say amen? As I said last night, let me continue on in the same thought. If you just bear with me a little bit. Amen. Just complaining about it isn't going to get it done. Sitting around and saying, well, isn't it terrible? That's not going to get it done. What's going to get it done is staying faithful to God. Staying on fire for God. Keeping your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Connected and abiding in the vine. Not being changed. Sooner or later, your faithfulness, your consistency will speak, and God will turn it around, and there you are for such a time. Can you say amen? So stay with me now. So the Philistines realize they got a problem. We got this Ark of the Covenant, and this God of Israel don't belong here. We got to send them on home. So they take the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on a new cart. They build a new cart and decide we're going to send it up on this new cart. And they take two kine and get them going and just say, if it be the will of God, they'll just know where to go. And then them cows had more sense than some people sitting in the pew. Because they were led by the Spirit. Amen. The Philistines followed it because they said, we want to make for sure that we're doing right. Isn't there something? These are heathen. These are Philistines. If God can't use the church, he'll use somebody. Come on now. Isn't it terrible? But yet the Philistines were used by God to get God back into Israel. God said, it's time for me to return back. It's time for me to come on back. There's some people up there that are hungry, and I hear their cry, and I hear their cry, and they're thirsty, and I'm coming on back. God will come back if we invite him. God will move if we let him. God will move. He wants to move more than you want him to move. God wants to change it more than you want to change it. Can you shout hallelujah? He hears your cry. And so the children of Israel, they have no idea that God's coming back. God don't send no invitation and say, can I be invited back? God don't need to be invited back because it's his nation. It's his people. And I've got news for you. He don't need to be invited back to church because it's his church. Let's invite Jesus in. We don't need to invite him. He's already here. If he's not here and we got to invite him in, we're in trouble. Can you say amen? He ought to be the head of the church. He ought to be running the church. The Holy Spirit ought to be actively moving and working. And the gifts of the Spirit, everything ought to be moving. The church is supernaturally born and supernaturally run. Come on now. But anything man puts his hand on, he taints. Anything man puts his hand on, he contaminates. Anything man begins to control, amen, bless God, you can understand that movement's not going to go anywhere. The brakes are on. God's going to lift his hand and say, the glory has departed. I'm here to tell you, I'm preaching that we need a pure move of God again. We need a true, genuine Christianity again. We need a humbleness, humility, repentance. We need God to return and God to visit and God to sanctify and God to send a heaven sent visitation that only God can. We're in a mess. We think we're all right. We're not all right. We need God to help us. Can you shout amen? We're not all right. We need something that only God can do. We need God to correct things that only he can now. Things have moved so far that God can only correct some things. Judgment must start in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm fearful right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm fearful for the day and the hour that we live in. Because I sense that God is getting ready to correct some things. And when God begins to move upon it, let no man try to steady it or handle it, because God will not share his glory with no flesh. Can you say amen? You better step out of the way. You better let God have his way. Every good leader and every Holy Ghost filled leader that loves God and has the fear of God is hearing the same rumbling and hearing the same warning and sensing the same thing, that God is about ready to do something mighty and powerful, but it may come in the hand of judgment too, and divine correction. Do you still love me? My God. I don't know why I'm preaching so nasty. I'm not nasty. I'm not preaching nasty. I'm just trying to tell you the where we're at in this thing and the what burdens me and the truth of old time Pentecost and what's crept in is birth by flesh and birth by Ishmael. And we've got Tobias in the house. When Nehemiah came and found out Tobiah, the very enemy, was in the house of God, he said to him, why did you let him in there? Well, he's part of my family. I don't care if he's part of your family. He's an enemy. And Nehemiah kicked him out and threw his stuff out and said, he's an enemy. He's an enemy of holiness. He's an enemy of the cross. He's an enemy. Amen. We've got the enemy in the house. We not only got the enemy in the house running things, we got Ishmael behind the pulpit, born of the flesh and not of the spirit. That's a recipe for disaster. When it comes to Pentecost, that's a recipe for disaster. That's why we have the new age, new stuff, this, whatever, coming behind the pulpit of heresies that have come in. And people that don't have enough, it seems like their elevator don't go all the way up, or they're three fries short of a Happy Meal. Amen, just say, catching on to things that, amen, that the world even looks at and says, that's loonier than you can get out. Preacher, do you do that? No. One man said to me, the end of the world coming in May the 21st. I said, no, the end of the world ain't coming if you know your Bible. And I began to tell him. Finally, he made a mockery of it. I said, listen to me now. The end of the world's coming for somebody. Your heart will quit beating. You won't breathe. And that's the end of the world for you. I said, don't make fun of this. It's real. It's right. The Bible is real. The church is right. Can you shout hallelujah? The very thing that we have, the Pentecostal movement, the heritage of it all is right. Can you say amen? Oh my God. Let somebody rise up and say, I want it back. I want a pure move of God. Not nothing politically, nothing with man's hands on it, nothing where man gets the glory and man gets the pat on the back. No way. Get out of the way and let God give us a pure move of God. I don't care where it starts, how it starts. I don't care where I'm at. I just want to fall on my face and let God have his way. There are things that I've said to God, you must set it back in order. It's out of order. And nobody has the answer but you. And I can imagine there were people that said, we'd like to have the ark back, but the Philistines have it. And there ain't no way they'd give it back to us. Amen. Unless, Lord, you would willingly come on back. Amen. Bless God. I believe there's hope still for some. I believe there's hope to turn some things around. This tells me there's hope. Because the ark is gone. And the glory has departed. And they're going through the motions without Christ. Without the power. Without the glory, but somebody got dissatisfied. Somebody said, wait a minute, this ain't right. We need the ark back. We need God back in this thing. Can you say amen? And it don't take a few, it don't take a whole many, it just takes a few to get stirred, a few to get on fire, a few to get filled up in a congregation, and that thing will get contagious. Instead of sitting and saying, well, we used to. No, that we don't used to. We want to now. We want it now. Look at your neighbor and say, we need God now. We need revival now. We need a visitation now. We need the Holy Ghost now. We need the anointing now. We need to see God moving now. And somebody must have got hungry and thirsty, because God don't move unless somebody cries out. And somebody in their heart probably said, I'd like to see it back. I've never seen the Ark of the Covenant, but I'd sure like to see it. Grandpa, did you see it? Yes, I saw it, but it's been gone for so long. I really don't tell you. Amen, bless God. Oh, what, amen. I didn't kind of see it, but I'll tell you how it felt when the glory was there, when the presence was there, when the priest ministered and there was something there, when they ministered and the glory was there. I can tell you it was a blessed thing. Oh my, I'm here to tell you We need God. We need God in everything. We need God in our Sunday school. God in the pulpit. God in the song leader. God in everything. How dare us try to run it without God? He's the author and the finisher. He's the head of the church. Without him, you and I can do nothing. These religious idiots that try to convince me that I'm wrong. I said, then I've been wrong for 32 years. And you just got out of seminary. You ain't even dry behind your ears. You call me into your office that's better than mine. And your church has more people than me. And then you look down your nose and say, you'll never go nowhere preaching like you're preaching. You need to upgrade your preaching. Well, I've got a long 32 years this way. I think I'll just stick with what I have. Thank you very much. Oh, no, thank you. Thank you, no. Thank you very much. I've come from a good heritage. I told Brother Eastman last night, me and him talked a while, and I said to him, when I was young and 20, amen, just getting in the ministry, I hung with the old preachers. I didn't hang with the new ones. I hang with the old ones. I didn't hang with ones my age. Amen. And if you're a young preacher in here, I'm going to give you the same wisdom. Hang with the old, because the old have been somewhere. The old have succeeded. The old have seen God. Hallelujah. The new and the young ones are just the same level as you. What are they going to teach you? They're on the same level you are. If you want to succeed and go higher, you've got to find people of higher standard, higher conviction, higher anointing. Can you say amen? If you hang with the same people that act the same way, they're going to pull you down, not put you up. You need to find some people, amen, that love God, that have been there, that have prayed God glory down, that have touched the heart of God, that have a testimony and a heritage. Hallelujah. They'll lift you a little higher. They'll challenge you. Can you shout hallelujah? Young people, you need the older saints of God. You need them because they've got a testimony. They've got a story. They've got something to tell you. And older brothers and sisters, you need the young because you need to tell them. You need to share your testimony. Need to leave something before you leave this world. You need to put something into somebody before you leave this world. Can you say amen? Can you imagine Samuel standing alone? Can you imagine Samuel being the only standard for what God really wanted? He was going against the grain, but standing there. Matter of fact, Haman Samuel would not go into Jerusalem to judge. He went to Mizpah. Mizpah's above Jerusalem, a few miles above it, but Samuel went to Mizpah, and he did all of his judging there. Haman, so Mizpah has a powerful meaning to the Israel. They knew it was the place where the prophet was. They knew it was the place where judgment was. They knew it was the place where you meet God face to face. And so when Samuel said to them, after the ark had come back and they've got the ark settled and they wanted the ark, they wanted to come back to God. Amen, bless God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but oh God, help me right now. That ark, when it came back, amen, there were Israelites harvesting wheat in the harvest field. They ran to the ark, but no one taught them that you don't look in. When they looked in, God smote thousands of them. Now I'm going to say this, that you need to hunger and thirst for God, but you need to be educated on how to take that hunger and thirst to God. It's not enough to be hungry and thirsty. You need to understand how to approach God. This business that God is like a fuzzy, wuzzy teddy bear, that God just, he come on down and, that's not right. That's damaged the fear of God. I'm not saying that God's millions of miles up there and he's abstract and he don't speak to you and he's not your friend, but I'm here to tell you he's still God. If you haven't realized, he's not defiled himself down to man. He's still God and he wants to be treated like God. He's holy, 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 holy. Can you shout hallelujah? So let me give you a little advice. A hunger and a thirst is good, and you need it. But if you don't learn how to channel it, you'll find yourself into some things that isn't of God. The campuses are full of hungry, vulnerable young people. And that's why Buddhism and Hinduism and the Far East religions are running rampant in our campuses, because there's a void in them, and there's a hunger in them, and there's a thirst in them, but nobody has told them. They don't have the understanding where to go, and so they reach out to something that's not of God, and the devil will pervert your hunger and pervert your thirst if you're not careful. That's why you need good counsel. That's why you need to learn how to approach God. Those men were good men. Thousands of them died, but nobody taught them, if the ark ever comes back, you never approach it in a casual way. That's God. And I'm here to tell you, amen, bless God, this casual kind of whatever attitude toward God, amen, is from the pit of hell. This thing that devours God, brings him kind of down, is a humanism thought. It's kind of a Pentecostal humanism. Let's bring God down to our level. Let's bring God down to us. Let's bring God down to us. You'll never bring God down. You, if you're going to go to God, you've got to go up. You never go down. You never have level ground with God. God is always God, and he'll always be God. That hunger and that thirst inside of you needs to be directed in the right way. And when I read that, I thought, what a tragedy. If somebody would just spoke to them, if you ever see the ark, but maybe they thought it'd never come back. You know what I'm saying? In some churches today, if God would arrive and show up, most people wouldn't know it was God. In one Pentecostal church, a dear young person began to travail in the spirit and weep in the spirit and moan in the spirit. And the pastor said, if you're going to do that, amen, you can find another church. And when that elder came to me and tears running down his face and said, we used to be a Holy Ghost filled church and we used to have the moving of the spirit. But our pastor today just rebuked the Holy Ghost and rebuked it in a young person at that, and told that young person, you can leave. We're not going to have that crying and travail and that moaning and that stuff around the altar. You can go find, I said to that elder, you go find that young woman and you tell her she's welcome in our church, hallelujah, because we recognize God and honor God and don't quench the spirit nor grieve the spirit. Can you shout hallelujah? That's the problem we've got. We've got those behind the pulpit that have never had an experience themselves, never really been filled and touched and consecrated by themselves. Amen. And now they're teaching and they're proclaiming this new kind of whatever. And this stuff is taking our young people if we're not careful. Can you say amen? I'm not against the new. Young people, don't look at me that way. I preached last night. You know where my heart's at. But I just want us to do it the right way. Because if you don't do it the right way, God won't come. You want to get God to come, then you've got to do it the right way. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Well, if God wants to come, he'll just come. No, you've got to approach God. Hallelujah. God came up. Amen. God came as far as he was going to come. And then God said, the rest is up to you. I'll stay here if I have to. And for 20 years, he did stay there. Amen. Until David got stirred and went down and did it the right way, but the first time did it the wrong way. But these poor men died because of ignorance. Ignorance ain't blessed. Ignorance isn't blessed. Amen. God don't wink at everything. Come on now. When you know better, when you ought to know better, and you don't do right, that's sin. Amen. Don't excuse it away. Amen. Well, they're doing this and that. Notice that God didn't smote the Philistines because God knew they didn't have the understanding and didn't have the ability to get the understanding. And so God is compassionate to them who don't know really. But when you know, when much is given, then much is required. And there is a responsibility because you know. And for you to do what you do, to grieve the Spirit, to quench the Spirit, to despise prophecy when you know better. God doesn't wink at that.
Well, how come God, they seem like they're living this way and God let them get away with it, you know, so I think I'll just kind of move in and kind of whatever. God said, I'm sorry. Amen, praise God. Years ago, I used to say to God, why you convict me? Why you deal with me in this? And you let the brother, you let that brother, you let him do this, you that. You give me personal convictions that really put me in a box, my God. Lord, you ain't even let me be a young person. I'm 20 years old when I come into this thing. And I had to grow up in a hurry. Amen, bless God. They pulled my bottle out of my mouth real quick and took the teether out of me and said, get in there and baptize me in the fire. I was pastoring at 21. I got saved at 18, filled with the Holy Ghost at 18, and pastoring at 21. I've been preaching the gospel for 32 years. I'm 50 now. I've been preaching the gospel more than serving the devil. I'm happy over that now. But I'm saying this to say that when God said to me, they're not your father. I'm your father. You're my child. And I've given you more. And when much is given, much is required. And so if you want to walk in the light and walk in the anointing, then there's requirements. There's a cost. There's a cross that you must bear. God never, amen, said, you've got to. He gave me the choice. If you want the ministry, then you go this way. This is the way, walk in it. But if you don't, then I'll love you still, but you'll sit in the pew. God didn't scold me. He just gave me the choice. And I'm glad, hallelujah. I said I'm glad, hallelujah, that I yielded to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that ark, they didn't know what to do with it. God is educating us now. Know what to do with him. He's moving in services and he's teaching people that the gifts are moving again. Things are being rebirthed again, revived again. Things that have laid dormant inside of people is being awakened inside of them. It's an exciting day because everywhere I go to preach, God is awakening people and stirring people, and they're dissatisfied and they're hungry and they're thirsty. But as I said last night, if you don't get satisfied and get in like you should, it'll become criticalness and bitterness. You must shake yourself and allow that thirst to motivate you to a higher level. You can't look at your neighbor. You can't look at that one. Like Brother Frazier said today, they're not your measuring stick. God is personally calling you to Mizpah. God is personally calling you to the holy ground. God is personally calling you to consecration and sanctification. And this is a personal calling. Can you shout hallelujah? This is a deep calling on to deep calling. Hallelujah. Not everybody hears the call to Mizpah, but those that hear it, I'm then required. What are you going to do? Look at your neighbor and tell him, what are you going to do? There's a call in you. There's a hunger in you. There's something birthed inside of you that you dare not resist. That's why Paul said, woe unto me. He didn't mean I'd be a little sorry. Paul knew there ain't an option to this. That's why when people say to me, well, I don't know if I want to or not, I didn't have that option. God didn't give me no option. When God slayed me in my aunt's kitchen and called me and said, I've called you to preach, and his voice sounded like thunder, roared through me, and I thought the whole world heard him, but I was the only one who heard him. He didn't say to me, now I'll give you an option. He shook me pretty good, this Methodist boy that I was. Then he filled me with the Holy Ghost and then took me down to Pentecostal people. Amen. To where my pastor said, you're acting more like them. You ought to go there. I said, thank you very much. I will. And I became Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? There's a line to draw. There's separation. There's relationships you must cut off. There's a cross. There's a call. There's a price. But there's a higher anointing, a higher peace and love. My God, it's way worth what you're going to ever have to give up. It's way worth what you're ever going to have to give up. So they called for the men of Jethro, however you say that name. I won't even butcher it. And they came and got the ark, brought it up to Obed-Edom's house. Said, we'll put a priest here with it. Eleazar, you be the priest. Amen. And watch this thing. And let's do this thing right now. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, let's do it right. Restoration takes time. To gain back what you lost takes time. Some of you come to camp meeting and you lost some stuff on the way, and to get it back takes time. Restoration takes time. It ain't overnight. It took years to build the temple. God wasn't in a hurry. He took his time. Can you say amen? And God will be patient with you and take his time. But I can guarantee you, God knows where you got off somewhere. God knows when you made the wrong turn. And God will say to you, like he said to Jacob, let's go back to Bethel where it all started. Hallelujah. Somebody say, let's go back to Bethel. Oh, my. Woo, glory. I'm feeling better now. Brother Fraser, we need this move. Our young people need. It's got to be branded in them, because they'll give up if it's not. It's got to be sealed in them like it was in us, Brother Pettit. I mean, you come from the same way I come from. Hallelujah. That's why me and you kind of get together. We wasn't grown up even religiously or whatever. Hallelujah. I wasn't born in the church. I wasn't a stepchild of the church. I was a child of the devil going the opposite direction when God got a hold of me. And I'm kind of glad that I wasn't religious. I'm kind of glad that spirit didn't get on me, because I can understand now that it ain't formality and religion that saved me. It was Jesus Christ. Can you shout hallelujah? And that first love, oh, and I've got to work to keep it there. That first dedication, I've got to work to keep it there. God lit the fire on the altar, but he asked me and told me and commanded me to maintain the fire. The responsibility is now yours, not God's. Shut up. God wants to, but you don't. God gives out the call, but you ain't listening. God, they wanted the ark. They were hungry and thirsty. We need this thing. We better handle it right, because the men of Beth Shemesh, thousands of them died. So they had enough sense to say, we better slow down on this thing and figure out what we do with this ark. So let's put a priest here and let's sanctify it and put it all. Let's do this thing right now. Amen. And let's call for the man of God. So they send word for Samuel. Amen. Samuel's in Mizpah judging and where he's always been. And you know what? When you're in trouble and amen, you're backslid, go to somebody who's always been where they've been. They're consistent. Go to them. Don't go to somebody that's just as bad as you and has all kinds of issues. Amen. Go to somebody who's been solid, who's been grounded, who's been faithful. Where did they turn to? The very man that they persecuted and probably said, he's old-fashioned, he's this, he's that, he won't compromise. They went to Samuel. Let's go to the man of God and find out how to get God back. Samuel said, meet me. Look at your neighbor and say, meet me. Meet me in Mizpah. You know what that meant to them when the word came back to them, Brother Pettit? They knew what that meant. They thought maybe Samuel come on down and bless and come on down and say, oh, this is a good thing. This is great. Ooh, man, you're doing wonderful. Boy, you're in with God again. Boy, you're... Ooh. The man of God said, I ain't moving because I didn't move. You moved. I'm where I was. You're not where you should be. So you're going to journey. You're going to blister your feet. You're going to... Well, if God really wanted to bless me, he come down and bless me. I don't know why he don't bless me. Well, get up and walk yourself to God. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Don't blame somebody else. Yeah, I done went to the altar, but so-and-so looked at me cross-eyed. I don't care if their eyeballs fall out of their head. I'm going to God. I'm in camp meeting. I may be preaching this, but I need something too. Hallelujah. And these messages are stirring me as well as you. Amen. Bless God. Because I didn't come to just play around and have church. I'm trying to deliver what God give me. Whether it's comfortable or not. It's a little tight, but it's right now. Can you say amen? Mizpah. Somebody say Mizpah. Meet me in Mizpah. He sends the message to the elders. Meet me in Mizpah. When they get that message, they about drop. My Lord, you know what this means. No more playing church. Oh God, the man of God has spoken. If we want God back, we got to go to Mizpah. One of them said, you know what that means? I know what that means. We're going to die all the way there. Because we're going to meet God face to face. We're going to be judged. We're going to be examined. And the journey, they passed the word to all elders. Meet Samuel in Mizpah. And as they begin the journey, some of them begin it probably not so on fire. Probably not so enthusiastic to meet the man of God, Samuel. Probably thinking, oh man, I don't know what he's going to do. What kind of church this will be. Amen. It'll be different than our church. Amen. It'll be different than our pastor who has ruffles on his collars and ruffles on his Fruit of the Looms and he's a Tinkerbell. It'll be different than that. It'll be kind of firm. It'll be challenging. We don't do that in our church. Samuel said, I don't care. If you want God, you better come to Mizpah. Mizpah meant holy ground. Mizpah means consecration. It means dedication, first love, dying, your self-interest, your self-motive. All about you has to die there. And the only thing that lives is what God births in you. Mizpah means you don't leave there without being changed. Because you don't dare go there without receiving the judgment. That's right. See, Samuel didn't say, well, come here and I'll give you an easy word. I'll give you something. No, when they came with issues and needed judge, Samuel spoke the word of the Lord. Not one word dropped to the ground. Amen of Samuel's word. And so it meant business. And the call I'm hearing today encourages me because I hear a call to Mizpah. I hear the trumpet sounding all through, amen, the church. And I hear preachers calling their church back to Mizpah. I hear them calling. I hear young people hearing the call and saying, I don't know what it's all about, but I feel a call to something deeper. There's something deeper inside of me that's stirring. I'm not satisfied. I need more. That's Mizpah. That's Mizpah calling you. That's God calling you to a deeper walk, deeper calling. I didn't say you're not saved. I'm talking about a deeper calling. I'm not calling about just salvation and just being forgiven. I'm talking about being consecrated, being sanctified, becoming a vessel of honor. God began to draw the line with me. Mizpah. Every time God calls Mizpah to me, I know what he means. You gotta die. In my church, when we have prayer meeting and God calls Mizpah, you'll find me under the organ bench. The people will say, oh God, Pastor must be dying tonight. And I am dying because there's too much of me still in me. But it's a journey. It's a process from glory to glory. I'm being changed. Come on now. I'm being changed. I'm being challenged. Amen. This business of Christianity don't challenge you. Don't demand a change. It's wrong. There is a change. I'm not talking about men changing you. Men can't change you. If men changes you, the change won't last. But if God changes you, it'll last. If God puts it in you, it'll brand in you. It'll be branded, marked in you to where you can't get it out of there. That's why the backslider who knew God and tasted of heavenly things and walked amen deeper with God is a miserable person right now, because they know it's there and they can never take that mark off of them. What God did lays inside of them. The good work that God began is still in there. Hallelujah. And when I see them, I say, arise. Come on, Lord. What you put in them is not dead. Convict them, stir them, trouble them. Can you say amen? When you go to Mizpah, you'll never be the same. When you go to Mizpah, you'll never settle for status quo or normal Christianity any longer. There'll be a hunger and a thirst inside of you that you'll cry out like the psalmist said, as a hart panteth after the waters, so does my soul after the living God. Hallelujah. We're heading to Mizpah. This organization is heading to Mizpah. Our organization is heading to Mizpah. At least I hope we're heading. I pray we are. I see people whining, don't want to go. Take me by the hand. Come on, I'll take you. It's painful, but it'll be all right. And when you come out, it'll be okay. It's painful now.
Yeah, but I like that. I like that guy. I know
you do, but I know you do, but. Let's go to Mizpah. I don't want to go to Mizpah. I believe some of the elders started but didn't finish, because on the way they got to thinking of what they had to give up. Amen. And they said, you go on. I don't think all of them got there. Amen. Bless God. Some of them probably said, this is too deep for me, too heavy. Amen. You go on. I'll go on back down to the church of the Pastor Frigidaire and the Pastor Polar Bear and the Frigidaires. I'll go on down where we ain't challenged, where it's not hot down there, where sin isn't preached anymore. I'll go on down where I can feel kind of comfortable with my carnality and my flesh can kind of live there. I kind of like that, where I can be really kind of fleshly, but spiritual too. I don't read that. I read where the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. I read where there's a battle there. I read where you feed one, it'll live, and if you starve the other one, it'll die. I read if you walk in the spirit, you'll fulfill not the lust of the flesh. There is no two time in God. I'll walk with you, God, on Sunday and walk with the devil on Monday. No way, no way, no way, no way. Mizpah says, come, come. If you really are thirsty and hungry, come. Mizpah will call them that really want God. It'll separate you. I'm not talking about a separation. I'm not talking about men separating you. I'm talking about something that God separates you. God anoints you. God lays his hand on you. God anoints you to where people recognize a difference in you. I have people that say, when you pray, I feel something. Presbyterians say that. In the last meeting, we had a gospel sing, and the man said, come and enter the Presbyterian people that were there, listen to the group, said, when you pray, something come all over me. I said, that's a Holy Ghost. Amen. You can get it to you, even though you're Presbyterian. He said, I like when you pray. There's authority. There's power there. See, they'll recognize. God will separate you. God will anoint you. God will consecrate. Well, the word consecrate means set apart. Set apart for God. When anything was consecrated in the Old Testament, it was set apart for God. It was normal in the beginning, but when it became consecrated, it became God's and God alone. Problem in the church is we've got too many that don't want to go to Mizpah. We've got too many that don't want to die. We got too many that want to live in their own self-interest and self-motive and don't want to die. And as long as that's there, that'll breed Ishmaels and breed the enemy, amen, of revival. But God is calling. Look at your neighbor and say, God is calling to Mizpah. He's calling you. I imagine some of the elders got weary on the journey, and maybe some of them said, come on, you know it's worth it. Come on, you've got to. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you know it's worth it. You know it's worth the price. It's worth the cost. You know it's right. You know it's real. You know that anointing is available. But you must go to Mizpah. And they encouraged one another. We've got to go. It'll not turn around. We'll never have the glory of God again if we don't go there. Amen. Praise God. To Mizpah. There's a journey and there's a call and a journey tonight. Someone come to the instruments, please. I've got to quit. There's a journey and a call. The young young man that's timing me, am I all right? Wherever you're at, am I all right? Amen. If I ain't all right, then I'm in trouble. But we're going to Mizpah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, we're going to Mizpah. We're going to Mizpah. We're laying down things that doesn't belong. We're laying every sin and every weight that besets us, and we're going to Mizpah. It's a journey, it's a fight, it's a course, but we're going there. God has called us. He ain't gonna pick us up and carry. He wants to see how hungry, how thirsty you really are. He's calling you to Mizpah. He's calling you to a deeper walk, deep calling on to deep, breaking up of the fallow ground. Hey, can't you hear the trumpet and the call? God is calling the church to purity, to holiness, to his power, to his glory. God wants to restore the church back to what it was in the book of Acts. And the only way he can is you got to go to Mizpah. Now God will come to us. God will get in our program. No, he won't. God said the day's too late. I've called now. Scripture God gave to me the other day that really stirred me and scared me, put a fear in me. The call of the man for the wedding. He calls the first group and they have excuses. He calls the second group and they come. And they say there's still room. Now call the lame, call the blind, call the impotent, call those whom are not worthy. We're there now. We're at the last call. And this call is for the church to get right, because judgment is starting in the house of God. It will be right one way or another. It'll either be right one way by God chastising and correcting you, or it'll be right by you yielding and coming, even if you don't want to in the beginning. And some of them elders probably didn't want to. When they read that, oh my God, Mizpah, no, Mizpah. That's like getting a letter to go see the principal. You ever get one of them? I got a few of them in my day, you know. Oh man, the principal never saw me to thank me. I was always in trouble. But God doesn't want it to be a scolding kind of way. It's a tender way that he's calling you. It's a tender way, but it's a stern way, like a father. He's saying to you, my child, you've strayed, you've got cold, you've let some things in. There's some judgment, some correction, some divine order that needs to be set in. And I am the one that says, come on to Mizpah. He's saying to you, can't you hear his call around the altar? Hasn't he been calling us to a deeper walk? To a deeper anointing? Hasn't been calling us to a deeper calling? By the time this camp meeting's over, I want, amen, us to be heading to Mizpah, making our direction there. Amen. We're not going to be perfect. We'll have still some issues, but at least we're heading there. We're going to holy ground, ground where God is. Can you say amen? We may wrestle with God, but he'll change us. He'll change our name. He'll change us. He'll put something in us that we don't even know that's there. That arise, he'll change you. That's what you need. You need a change. You need transformed. Only the power of God can do it. Hallelujah. So we need to rise and go to Mizpah. Hallelujah. When they got there, Samuel said, we're going to repent. They said, call on God for us, Samuel. Samuel said, we're going to all repent. Samuel included himself in it. I want you to notice, some people think they don't need no help right now. They think we're the cat's meow. We're spiritual. We don't need no help. I don't even know why you're preaching that to me, because I don't need to go to Mizpah. I pity you. Because you haven't arrived. You've been deceived by yourself You've looked in the mirror and become a hearer, not a doer, and deceived yourself. The devil don't even got to deceive you. You've deceived yourself to believe that you've arrived somehow, and you've reached the utopia of where you're supposed to be. I've got news for you. I don't care how long you've served God. The call of Mizpah is still burning in your heart, and God is still dealing with you, and there's still part of you that needs to lay on the altar. There's still dross that needs to be purged out. The refiner fire needs to purge the sons of Levi. Can you shout hallelujah? Oh God, birth it in us. As I preach, Lord, birth this in us. The call to Mizpah. Let it burn in the heart of an individual here tonight, that they'll not leave this tabernacle the same way they came. I can't put it in you. I didn't put it in myself. I really don't know how I got it in me. God just put it down in me. It just began to move on me. God began to say, you can't do that no more. You've got to withdraw here. I want you to pray a little more. And when other young people were doing this, I was praying. I don't know when it started with me, but I know it started. But it's been a journey for 32 years. And I'm here to tell you, the call is even greater now. I feel it even more greater, with a greater urgency and a greater calling and pulling from God now. Because the Holy Ghost is my best friend, and he empowers you, touches you, sanctifies you, gets you ready for higher things. Hallelujah. The church will never see a revival till they go to Mizpah. I don't care what evangelist you have, I don't care how good he can preach, I don't care how many seven steps to revival. You can have every book you want to read. I'm giving you the ingredient right now for revival. It's Mizpah. Everybody say Mizpah. I want that to burn in you. I want that word to come up, amen, for the next weeks upon weeks. Mizpah. I want them to speak in your spirit. Mizpah, 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 Mizpah. Where have you strayed? Mizpah. Has the calling deep in you? Mizpah, Mizpah, Mizpah. Come to me. I've not left. I've not moved. You have. Come to me and answer that deep call. That deep call of service. That deep call that goes beyond just casual Christianity. Answer that call, Mizpah. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet if you will, all across this congregation tonight. And I want you to bow your head right where you're at. Amen. And I want you to talk to God just where you're at there right now. Amen. And I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready. I said I want you to get ready. I believe the elders got ready. I believe they dressed the best they could. I believe they sanctified. They took oil and things that they knew that they needed to take. They didn't go unprepared. I guarantee you the invitation from Samuel was not taken lightly. I guarantee you they didn't go there just saying, oh, we just come as we are. We just kind of come. Hey, Samuel, what's going on? Samuel, I believe, man, they prayed. Every step they took, they began to die. Every step they took, they realized this is one step farther, amen, from dying. And they kept going. They were prepared. They were prepared. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to go into the presence of your God. Prepare to behold the beauty of his holiness and the glory of his glory. Oh, there's no greater invitation giving on the face of the earth tonight than what God is giving in this tabernacle right now, because he's saying, come unto me. I'm giving you an invitation to come and experience my glory, my power. But you must come with the right heart. For the last few years in this organization and ours, God has been doing the work. God has been preparing. And what we have seen is only very little of what God is going to do. But I'm going to warn you the same way I'm going to warn my own people. If we miss it, we'll become irrelevant. We'll become powerless. We'll become just like any other Pentecostal movement that's lost its power and its glory. Our grandchildren will never know the power of Pentecost. Our grandchildren will hear the stories of dancing and shouting and people falling under the power, and it'll be just a memory and a faded memory in your mind even, if we're not careful, because we're not above God pulling away from us. Sometimes I think we think, well, we're holiness people. We're Pentecost. We're God's chosen. He wouldn't pull. I got news for you. God's no respecter of persons. And you requinch God and grieve God and don't answer his call after he calls and deals and calls, I guarantee you, God don't care what name's on the door. He'll write Ichabod over it. And that's what fears me. That's what makes me cry. Makes me walk the floor and say, my God, please, I'm a leader, but I'm just a man. I can't turn this thing around. I can only preach it, but I can't make them. You must breath something in the young leaders. You must do something in them that you did in me, Lord. You must visit us. Because somewhere along the line, they need that. God. Can't give it to you. God is calling you. God is beckoning you. My God. My God. Yes, God. Reverent to him. You're standing on holy ground. This is Mizpah. Obey God. Obey God. Oh God. Oh God.
That's why you see the young heart reaching. Beginning to turn from many of those that know and understood. And I'm beginning to turn because they've been self-satisfied. I'm beginning to turn now towards the youth and towards the young ones. Is there not a cry? Look and be honest. I am beginning to turn. Will you let me turn or will you bid me? Will you bid me? No. Will you grab me? Will you hold on to me? Will you not let me walk away? It's your choice.
You have an option. You have an ultimatum. The older in here, do you want to die in the wilderness or do you want to move on to the promised land? The older ones that have been in God for so long that you've grown cold and calloused in your heart and somehow you think you've figured it all out, do you want to repent and move forward or do you want to die in the wilderness? Because I guarantee you, I'm not dying there. I'm not dying with you. I'm not dying with you. If you choose to stay, you stay on your own. I'm moving to Mizpah. I'm moving with Mizpah. I'm hearing the elders saying, let's go. As they went from town to town, some would say, where are you heading? We're heading to Mizpah. Haven't you heard? Samuel's given the call. We're going to repent. We're going to repent. God is back in the land. The ark is in the house of Abinadab. Haven't you heard? No, I haven't. But I'm coming with you. And all through the towns, God burned in the heart of the remnant. There were those that said, go in my place. I can't go. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. But there were others that laid down what they had to do. They laid it down because they knew the urgency of the hour. They knew the call from the man of God. It was God calling. They laid their things down and said, I'll follow you. I'll go to Mizpah. I'll go because I want to see God's glory too. I'm seeing it everywhere I go. I'm seeing the call. People laying down things and saying, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. I need Mizpah. I need what God once did. I need it back. I need my first love. I need stirred. I'm tired. I'm repenting. And I'm being encouraged by what I'm seeing. But I'm also seeing those becoming stiff-necked and rebelling on God and saying, how dare you preach to us like we're backslid or challenge us like that? Don't you know who you're preaching to? Yes, I know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to flesh and blood just like I am. You ain't no better than I am. When you get that attitude, you'll lose the power of God. will leave. Every great movement that lost the power of God somewhere along the line rejected the call of Mizpah when God said, correct it or you lose it. They decided to lose it to gain prosperity or to gain popularity or to gain whatever they thought they should gain. But what they really did, they lost the very thing that caused them to be separate and caused them to be different and caused them not to be like any other group gathering together, not like the Moose or the Lodge Club or whatever. They lost that, and then they became irrelevant. Amen. The community doesn't even persecute them anymore because they're no danger to the devil. Amen. Well, let's get dangerous again. Let's get radical again. Let's get hungry and thirsty again. How about it? You want to go to Mizpah with me? How about it? You want to take me by the hand and go to Mizpah? How about it? How about we make up our mind that we have a revival? How about individually? Do you know what? If every individual in here would make up their mind to go to Mizpah, he would turn this thing upside down. This camp meeting would be the greatest camp meeting you ever had. It's an individual decision. Don't wait on your neighbor. They may not go. Make up your mind to go to Mizpah yourself. Can you say amen? Make up your mind. If you're ready, come. If you're ready, come. Come on, come on. If you're ready, come. I've made up my mind. If your neighbor don't come, that's all right. I'm coming anyhow. If my husband don't serve God, that's all. I'm going to serve God myself. I'm going to serve God if my wife don't say. I'm coming to Mizpah. It's an individual choice. But then we gather together. Oh, God, give us a move of God. God, give us a move of God. Leaders, Lord, sanctify leaders. God, deal. Give a fresh anointing to leaders. Move upon leaders. Touch, my God, those that are in leadership. Oh, God. Oh, God. We hear the call. We hear the call. We don't know what to do. We were perplexed. Amen. But we want to come. Help us. Help us. You just ask God to help you. I don't know. You may not even understand what I preach. I don't quite understand it all. But I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. And that's what the Lord wants you. He don't want you to figure it all out and then come. He'll never figure it out. He wants you to come. If you come, he'll meet you. He'll touch you. He'll sanctify. Oh, cry out to God. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord tonight. God, give us Mizpah. Call through the land. Call through the land. Sound the trumpet. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm that wakes up the dead. Sound the alarm that wakes up the backslid. Sound the alarm that wakes up the careless. Sound the alarm, Lord, in Zion. Sound the alarm. Send the call to Mizpah. This ain't an altar call of a preacher. This ain't an altar call of a deacon. It ain't an altar call of a big time evangelist. It's an altar call of God. It's going all across the world. The call to Mizpah. The call to Mizpah. The call to Mizpah. Oh. Oh my God. My God. We're on holy ground. We're on holy ground. This is ground. Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let them touch you. Let them minister to you. Come on, it's just you and God. You don't even need no music. It's just you and God. The awesome presence of God is all over you. God is touching you. God is ministering to you. Let him have his way. Yield yourself to God. Yield yourself to God. Let him touch you. Let him consecrate. Let him take a live altar call from the altar. Let him anoint your lips. Let him anoint and purge. Let him move within you. Let him stir within you. Oh, my. You can't go any farther till you've been to Mizpah. You can't go any higher till you've been there. You can't achieve what God wants you till you've been there. And it don't matter what your plans are. Your plans will change when you get to Mizpah. Your vision will change when you get to Mizpah. The call of God will become greater when you get to Mizpah. Amen. You've got a lot of ideas, but those ideas will die in Mizpah, and there'll be things birthed inside of you that's God ordained, that God wants for your life. That's why we need to go to Mizpah, to let that which must die, die, Let God put something in us that's from Him to live. Oh God, cry out to the Lord. Oh Lord, cry out to the Lord tonight. Oh, cry out to the Lord tonight. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, Lord, do not pass me by tonight. Do not pass me by tonight. Oh, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, God, while on others, while you're calling, God, stir my heart. Oh, God, yes, yes, say yes to Him, surrender to Him. Let Him birth it in you. Let Him work in you. Let Him do. Let it die. Lay aside. Oh, it's painful. I know it's painful. I know it's painful. I know you don't want to, but lay it aside. It'll only destroy you. Let something be birthed in you that'll bring life. Oh, come on. Come on. If I wasn't saved, I'd give my heart to Christ. I wouldn't be lost. Amen. If you're in here and you're not saved, I'd be coming to Christ. Amen. If you backslid, I'd be shaking myself. Amen. I don't want to be found on the other side of this. No way. I'd rather God judge me as a child of God and correct me as a child of God than face Him as a backslider or a sinner. Oh, no, no, no. You're in the right place. Let God judge you now. Let God deal with you now. Let the Spirit of God work on you now. Let Him do something now. Oh, rather than later, yield now and say yes to God now. Don't let it be later. Don't let it be later. Come on, cry out to God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, I want Him to move on you more than emotion. I want Him to move on you inside. Something deeper, moving. You can sense that strong, powerful anointing of God here today. Jesus. Jesus, have your way, Jesus. Jesus, have your way, Jesus. Jesus, have your way. Just let Him have His way. You're on holy ground. You're on holy ground. Take time. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Take time. Take time. Don't grieve Him. Don't be talking to other people. Even talk to God. Don't grieve Him. Don't let this thing pass from us. We cannot miss this. We cannot. It's too costly. We cannot miss the move of God. We cannot. Don't, please. I beg of you. There ain't enough French fries in the world to cause me to want a snack bar right now. No way. No way. Come on, come on, come on. Focus yourself. Stretch yourself. Allow God to move. Come on. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed or stayed on your knees a while, but you need to stay there. You need let God do something. Oh, you need to break through and press through. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, we don't need to miss this. No, this is the finest hour. The church, hallelujah. Let it arise. Yes, Lord, I hear the call. I hear the call. Amen. You may be the only one in your church, but that's all right. You keep on hearing the call and move forward and be obedient. God will bless you. God will turn. Oh, oh my, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, hear the cry of your children. We want to go. Take us by the hand, Holy Spirit. Help us. We don't understand. In our own flesh, we can't make it. Spirit of God, help us. I want to go to Mizpah, but I don't know how to get there. I struggle to get there. My flesh fights me, but oh Lord, I surrender. Take me by the hand, Holy Spirit, and take me to Mizpah. Take me to Mizpah. I want to see your glory, but I know I must die. Take me to Mizpah. Holy Spirit, take me to Mizpah. take me to Mizpah. Please, please, come on, cry out to God. Take me to Mizpah. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to die in a pew. I don't want to die. I don't want to have. I don't want to die without a. I want a vision. I want to call a vision. I want to rise higher. Call me, Lord. Lay your hand on me today. Lay your hand on me today. Lay your hand on me today. Some of you pastors, if you could get around some of these young people and pray for them tonight. Some of these young people are really weeping out to God. Can pastors, some pastors are praying right now. That's all right, I guess. But if you can, if you're done, come pray. Let's pray them through. Let's ask God to help them. Let's ask God to seal and touch them and move in their heart and their life and stir them and work in their life. Come on, come on, come on. There's future evangelists here. There's future preachers here, future missionaries here. Oh God, oh God, touch Lord, arrest and touch them. Don't let them leave like they came, God. Every young person here, don't let them leave like they came, Lord, but arrest them, touch them, seal them, do something deep in the depths of their heart. Let it flood. Oh my God, yes, Lord, let it flood, my God, that call, that deep call. To Mizpah, let it flow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Weep on through to it. Weep on through to it. Come on, young people. Weep on through to it. Weep on through to it. Weep on through to it. Ah, let God weep on through to it. Hallelujah. Come on, weep on through to it. Reach out and weep on through to it. Cry out to God. God. Let God put a hunger. Let him put a thigh. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh God. Oh God. This young lady needs the Holy Ghost in a powerful, mighty way. God, touch her tonight. Arrest her attention. God, move and work, Lord, in a mighty way, God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. In the name of the Lord. 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 He come out of my Sunday. He come out of my. Come on, cry out. Come on, cry out. The trumpet sounded. The call went out. The trumpet sounded. The call went out. The trumpet sounded. The call. Mizpah. 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 He come out. Mizpah, Mizpah, oh, Tamaya, Mizpah, oh, my God, do a deep work in the depths of her heart. Call Mizpah, my God, Mizpah, 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 oh, Tamahanda, oh, Mizpah, Lord, let it be a move. A deep move of the Holy Ghost in the depths of her spirit. Mizpah, Mizpah, Mizpah. Come on, let God have his way. Come on, come on. He come on. Let it be Mizpah. Let it be Mizpah. My God, I'm here. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Lord, meet me. Meet me. Meet me. Meet me, Lord. Meet me. Meet me. Meet me. Meet me. Meet me, Lord. Maybe that's why I'm different. Maybe that's why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a call. I'm feeling something from Mizpah. I'm feeling something from the throne room of God calling my heart, burning in me. Oh, God. Oh. Yes, Lord. Oh God. Oh, Mizpah.
Oh God, call Mizpah, call Mizpah, Lord. Let the trumpet sound, let it resonate in her spirit, God. Let the call, let it come from heaven, let it come from you, Lord. Birth a bird and birth a bird. Oh, something that only you can do in the depths of her spirit, God. Let there be a Mizpah. Let there be a Mizpah experience. Let there be a deeper walk, God. Oh, God, burn something in the depths of her spirit tonight, God, we pray. Mizpah, Lord. She hears the call to Mizpah, Lord. A deeper walk, my God, a deeper call, God. Let it, oh, let it burn in, God, like an all-consuming fire, God. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost, Lord. Reach out to God. Reach out to God. Reach out to God. That's why you feel the way you feel. The call to Mizpah is coming. God is laying his hand on your life. Oh, that's why. Oh, God, you can pick the pieces up, God. You can restore. You can move. You can work. My God, you are a God of a second. You are a God of grace and mercy. Call Mizpah, Lord. She says, yes, Lord. My God, touch, Lord, and minister, Lord, tonight. Mizpah, Lord, Mizpah, Mizpah, God. Let it burn in the depths of her spirit, God, of Mizpah.